This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Democrats retook the U.S. House of Representatives back in 2018 during the midterms. And in addition to this year wanting to regain the White House, the party is hoping to flip Ohio's first congressional district to expand their majority. Currently, the seat is occupied by longtime incumbent Republican Steve Chabot. He was first elected in 1994 and has held the seat since, except for one two-year term when Democrat Steve Driehaus represented the district. Before Chabot faces voters again, Democrats will choose his opponent. Two women are seeking the party's nomination, and we spoke to both of them, Nikki Foster and Kate Schroeder. We start today's show with Nikki Foster. And my guest now is Nikki Foster, a Democratic candidate for Ohio's first congressional district. Nikki Foster, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for coming in. What is your background? I understand that your parents are immigrants.
They are, yes.
They came to the country to look for that proverbial American dream. Tell us about your backstory.
Absolutely. So my father came from the Philippines at the age of 16. He came over with his mom and three siblings. My mother came from the Netherlands at the age of two with her family, and then her sister was born here later. Both my parents are half Asian, half European. So my father is Scottish-Canadian and Filipino, and my mother is Dutch and Indonesian. So they met and fell in love and had three kids, and was proud to be raised by a working-class parent. My mother was a secretary, and my father was an auto mechanic. And dad worked very hard. Some days he'd work 6 days a week to put food on the table and raise a family of five. And they taught me about faith and service to community. And I was inspired to join the military and got an appointment to the U.S. Air Force Academy. And as you may know, I was a junior at the Air Force Academy when September 11th happened, and so kind of re-examined where I wanted my life to go and decided to sign up for Air Force pilot training.
And you deployed three times alongside your husband, I understand.
I did, yes, in the KC-10, which is an air-to-air refueler. I actually refueled him over Afghanistan one night in 2008, and then I deployed twice more without him.
What was that like, being a couple in combat?
They're very strict. You can't live with your spouse when you're in Southwest Asia. So you have to fly in your own crew. You can't fly together. It was interesting. You know, he would go out for a mission. I would come back from one. Normally he'd be on days, I'd be on nights. And we'd hear each other check in on the radio in Iraq, or we'd hear each other check in on the radio in Afghanistan. And it was stories that we have to share, friends from all over the country. It was a level of camaraderie and friendship and that not few couples can share. So it's a very special relationship that we have. We're going to celebrate 15 years of marriage on March 4th.
And you have two sons?
We do.
And you live in Mason?
I do, yes.
You earned a bachelor's degree in political science from the Air Force Academy?
I did.
And then went on to earn a master's degree in diplomacy from Norwich University. And what do you do professionally now?
I work at GE Aviation. I'm on a leave of absence now. But we have a veterans leadership program called the Junior Officer Leadership Program. And it just celebrated its 10-year anniversary. And that's what drew me to GE Aviation. So the engines I flew in combat on the KC-10 were actually the CF-6-50 engines, and they were manufactured here in Evendale by the hardworking men and women of the UAW.
So it's all kind of come full circle in a way.
Yeah, it has. And they're some of the most reliable, proud engines that we have in the fleet. So very, very proud of that heritage with GE Aviation. They taught me how to be a businesswoman. It's a two-year program to help us learn about finances, learn about supply chain, and then I manage big service contracts with United and Delta and LATAM Airlines.
How many missions did you fly overseas?
So all total, 217. I did two deployments without Rob. So I flew the MC-12 Intel Surveillance Reconnaissance Tactical Propeller Aircraft in Afghanistan. So about 100 missions looking for the Taliban. And then I went back to the desert as a KC-10 scheduler. I was responsible for all the air tasking orders for the KC-10, my last deployment as a young major. And I pin on Lieutenant Colonel in July in the Air Force Reserve. So it'll be 17 years of service in July.
And our guest now is Nikki Foster. She is a candidate in the Democratic primary in the race for Ohio's 1st Congressional District. That seat is currently occupied by Republican Steve Chabot. Nikki, while you're out on the campaign trail, what do you cite as your top three priorities?
Top three priorities. Well, number one is healthcare. I wanted to share with you the main reason why I'm running for U.S. Congress is because you would have thought with all this flying experience that the fight of my life was thousands of feet up in the air over the deserts of Iraq and the mountains of Afghanistan, but it was actually down here in the cardiac ICU with my newborn son, Henry, about a year and a half ago. We were told when I was pregnant with him that we wouldn't know how serious his heart condition would be until he was born. He turned out to be okay once he started breathing air. But we met lots of other kids that aren't as fortunate as we are. So Rob and I decided to step up and run for U.S. Congress to make healthcare more affordable, to fight for kids with pre-existing conditions like Henry. And I believe healthcare also includes affordable prescription drug medication, access to mental health and addiction care.
Do you have other issues that you cite?
If I were to
ask for two more, as far as your top three?
Yes, of course. To me, the dignity of work is so important here in Cincinnati, and I learned that not only having come to the city through this veteran leadership program, but to help other veterans find work at GE Aviation. I've helped through the Veterans Network Hire Pillar to hire about a half a dozen veterans into the city, into GE Aviation, since I joined the company. Very proud of that. And continue to foster relationships throughout the city with universities and with other nonprofits to help veterans find work. And then, of course, quality education is very important to continue to help the economy grow. And I think with both the economy and education comes infrastructure and ways to continue to help provide work for folks here in the city and prepare for the changes that are coming. There is an Amazon hub going up on the other side of the river, and we have to be ready for those changes. So
let me ask you about a big piece of infrastructure that's connected to the district you'd like to represent. That's the Brent Spence Bridge.
That's right.
We haven't heard a whole lot about that in recent years from either the state level or the federal level.
Right.
And I'm curious what you think you would fight for
in
terms of that project.
Well, I want to be part of the Transportation Committee. Much like Congressman Massey across the river, I believe that we have to be prepared for those changes and that I mentioned earlier. And the Brent Spence Bridge is key there. We know that it's been structurally unsound for decades now, and we need real leadership to step up and make those changes. And I believe I'm the right person for the job after having been a businesswoman and flown in combat missions where I am very focused on accomplishing work under high-stress situations. I believe I can get that done, and I can do it bipartisan because I have a long career of doing so.
I mentioned that this seat is currently occupied by Republican Steve Chabot. I know that's who you want to run against, but before you get the opportunity to do that, you're running against fellow Democrat Kate Schroeder. What's the difference between you two that's most significant for voters to understand?
Well, I think the biggest difference is who is going to be the toughest opponent for Steve Chabot to meet in November? And I think I wanted to share with you some data from fellow female veterans all across the country that flipped seats just like this one in 2018. There were five of them. I won't list them all, but they were all part of what they call now the Second Service Coalition, which is a political action committee that's backed my campaign, made up of women like Mikey Sherrill and Chrissy Houlihan, also a Navy pilot and an Air Force veteran. And we've seen that this ability to talk about servant leadership and country first mentality is how we can unite folks in the district and be a sharp contrast to Steve Chabot and his record of voting along party lines, his record of voting to repeal the Affordable Care Act that would have left kids like my son Henry out in the cold with a pre-existing condition. Those messages really tend to resonate in districts like this one, where it stretches. It's very gerrymandered. It stretches all over Warren County to downtown Cincinnati to the west side. And we're going to need a candidate that can reach people in all different places. And I will tell you, when you're knocking doors for my campaign, people leave their door open just 30 seconds longer because they want to hear about my service to country and putting country first and the fact that I will fight really hard for hardworking families here, just like the one I grew up in. So, yeah.
You mentioned the strangeness of the gerrymander district that you're working to represent.
Yeah.
It's maybe strange to some people that Price Hill would be in the same congressional district as Kings Island, but that is the case that we have. The key to success, according to a lot of analysts in 2018 for Democrats and taking over the House, was suburban women.
That's right.
And you're a woman who lives in the suburb of Mason.
I am.
How do you think your message would be effective in the fall for them?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I will tell you, we actually have data to support how strongly I can perform in parts of the suburbs and in Warren County. So I did run for state representative in 2018, and I'm proud of that race. We were an all-volunteer team, and we had about $40,000 in the bank account to spend on getting our message out, and the rest of it was a ground game. We knocked about 10,000 doors, and I moved the needle 8 points. I outperformed AFTAB and Rich Cordray as a Democrat in Warren County, which is saying a lot for a ragtag bunch of women in Mason. So I think it's really proof for what can be done, not only here in Southwest Ohio, but what can be done across the nation when you have a lot of fired up ladies that want to be involved with their democracy.
Okay, so I understand that the Democratic Party has endorsed your opponent?
Well, specifically Hamilton County is that endorsement that you might be talking about.
What did that mean to you when that happened?
I was disappointed because the committee actually voted to stay out of that. And there was a series of events that took place that tipped the scales in her favor. And I will tell you that I was disappointed, but we continue to move forward. You know, frankly, I have about six national endorsements, and they come from sitting members of Congress like Seth Moulton. So we just move forward, just like I did throughout my career. You know, I was the only woman in my pilot training class. I was probably the shortest in my entire squadron at the Air Force Academy. So it's not the first time that I've had to be resilient and move forward, but I think that's what people in the district deserve. There's a lot of hardworking families that are just one accident away from disaster, and they need a fighter like me that's going to get back up and work really hard for what they care about. You know, when my dad worked hard as an auto mechanic, he actually slipped and fell off a ladder at the age of 50 and had to go on disability. And when that happened, we lost everything. He went bankrupt. Mom had to go back to college, and I was a young lieutenant sending money home to help pay for college for my siblings. So we know what hardworking families are going through in this district because we've been through it too.
So. In 2020, in the fall of 2020, President Trump will be on the ballot as well.
Yes.
He won Ohio in 2016. So your name could be on the ballot as a Democrat while his is on the ballot as well. He's relatively popular outside of the city. Mm-hmm. How do you compete with that? Do you need to find a way to speak to voters who might vote to reelect President Trump but might consider you for Congress?
That's exactly what we're going to have to do. And I will tell you that when you talk about putting country first and talking about serving the families here in the district, a lot of them want to see something different. You know, a lot of people don't like incumbency and want to see change. And I will tell you, Steve Chabot's accepted a lot of money from corporate PACs, and people don't like that. They want to see that you fight for them. I will tell you, I'm very proud of the fact that our average donation to our campaign is about $70. That's because of grassroots. That's because we have a message that really resonates and people get behind that and appreciate that. Appreciate someone who's willing to knock on your door, to go to community council, to listen to what issues really concern you as a citizen. And that's the type of leadership I was taught in the service, is that it's all about engagement with folks, because you can't ask your troops to go deploy with you in harm's way without gaining their trust and their respect. It's something that I've been accustomed to doing my entire career. I want to continue to do that with constituents here.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the way Congress acts right now. It's a tough place, Washington, D.C.
Do you
think that you're somebody who can create some type of bipartisan moderation compromise or at least assist in alleviating the gridlock that takes place currently?
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with that mission focus again. Having been a businesswoman and sat across the table from big clients like United Airlines or Delta Airlines, we have a long-term relationship where we work together to make those things happen. It's the same way in Congress. The great thing about having that endorsement from the Second Service Coalition is the fact that's about a dozen sitting members of Congress that are freshmen that flipped seats just like this one back in 2018. So they know that things have to be done bipartisan, and I already have some of those relationships established. Having Seth Moulton's support, he will be a great mentor to me when I jump into the seat to help me find ways to gain coalitions and get things done for the American people, because that's what they ask us to do, just like they did when we served our country. We didn't ask what party the person who was sitting next to us in the cockpit belonged to. We just had to get the mission done. And sometimes you would jump into the seat with somebody in Afghanistan and you'd never met them before. They had just gotten off the airplane from the U.S. and they had been in their first combat mission. You had to be ready to work together with them. That's something that a lot of veterans are accustomed to doing. And that's what the American people are asking.
Do you have a preference in the Democratic primary for president?
I don't, actually. I'm waiting for Super Tuesday, like many others. That's why I haven't cast my own ballot yet.
Nikki Foster is a Democratic candidate in the primary for Ohio's 1st Congressional District. She faces fellow Democrat Kate Schroeder. The winner between these two women will take on incumbent Republican Steve Shabbat in the fall. Nikki Foster, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some time with us.
Thank you.
Up next, we talk with Kate Schroeder, who is also seeking the Democratic Party's nomination for Congress. And later, a talk with the author of The Bourbon King, an in-depth look at the extravagant and criminal life of Cincinnati bootlegger George Remus. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our conversations with the Democratic candidates for Ohio's 1st Congressional District. Earlier, you heard my conversation with Nikki Foster, and now her primary opponent, Kate Schroeder. And joining me now is Kate Schroeder, a Democratic candidate in the race for the 1st Congressional District, currently occupied by Republican Steve Shabbat. Kate, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess the first question is, who are you?
So I'm a mom who lives in Clifton, born and raised here in Cincinnati. I grew up in Pleasant Ridge and went to Nativity for grade school and Ursuline for high school. And I've been someone my whole life. I've been passionate about public service. I spent 3 years working in politics out of college in D.C. on the Hill for Senator Evan Bayh, and then here in Cincinnati in City Hall. And I thought, holy moly, not much gets done. Let me flip between the public and private sector. So I went and got my MBA at Wharton at the University of Pennsylvania and have spent 15 years in public health. So I lived in Zambia in Africa for 2 years and then spent another 10 years working in global health, the last seven based here out of Cincinnati. And I'm passionate about making change, getting results. I've led programs that have reduced drug prices overseas by 40%. I serve on the Board of Health here in Cincinnati and have helped to expand our dental services. And I'm really frustrated with what's been happening in our country and particularly the lack of results and leadership with our member of Congress. So I'm doing this big, bold thing because I believe in it. And I believe that I have a lot to bring. Healthcare is my passion. I've also went through Hodgkin's lymphoma myself 9 years ago. So it's personal. I know what it feels like when you get those diagnoses. And I really believe we need people that understand, that have the empathy and the perspective to understand the impact of these votes and to do the right thing, the political courage to do the right thing for our community.
You just mentioned that you went from working in the government as an aide or in some capacity and then transitioned to the private sector. But now it looks like you would like to return to the public side of things. Do you think there would be a difference with you in office in terms of how things operate and whether things move a little more quickly?
Yeah. So I've spent the 3 years in government service, then after my MBA, 3 years in business, and then 12 years in nonprofit. So I've been at the intersection of all three sort of my entire career. And yes, it is challenging in government. I am at my core an action-oriented person. I think it, you know, I'm sure it drives my husband crazy at times. I'm a doer. I like to get things done. And that's hard in government sometimes because you have to work, you know, you have to build diverse coalitions and bring stakeholders together to align around a common goal. And it's not easy, but I think we need more people that are low ego, that are there to focus on what is our common goal, and get things done. And I really do believe one of the heartening things about running is, you know, I think 80%, 90% even of us are in the middle. We have a political system. We have a media environment that is painting us in these extremes. But the reality is most of us are in the middle. And I think we need more people that are, you know, low ego and bring us together to get things done. And, you know, I'm a mom. I know how to de-escalate. I do it every day. And I'd like to bring that to our government.
So before you get the opportunity to take on longtime incumbent Steve Chabot, you've got to get through a Democratic primary. Can you explain why you think you're better equipped to take on Chabot in the fall when compared directly to your Democratic opponent?
Yeah. I mean, I think I am both more competitive against Chabot and then also would be an excellent member of Congress. One, because my career, you know, my 15-plus year career in healthcare is the number one issue for voters. I have a track record of getting things done and having a lot of personal experience as well in the area that is the number one issue for voters. I also have a really broad base of support in Hamilton County, which is where 80% of the Democratic voters are. So I have the endorsement of the Hamilton County Democratic Party and all 18 local elected officials, from city council to school board to state reps that have endorsed in this race. So being able to bring that and then being born and raised here, like I love this community. It's I was in high school, you know, in 1994 when Chabot was first elected. It's personal. It's really unacceptable to me, you know, that he's been in there since 94. And what do we have to show for it? You know, I think I've been accused my whole life of being a Cincinnati superfan. So bring it to a new level. So I do think because of my deep roots in this community, because of my expertise in an area that matters a ton to voters and my ability to bring people together. And also, you know, the role of money is terrible in this in our political environment, but it matters, especially when you're taking on a long-term incumbent. And so you have to raise a minimum of $3 million. I am a strong fundraiser. You know, our first quarter, we came in third in the country for our fundraising. So I have the ability not only to beat Chabot, but to be a highly effective member of Congress.
Third in the country among whom?
Among first-time Democratic challengers, yeah.
Okay. You note that 80% of the Democrats who will be voting in the upcoming primary live in Hamilton County?
Yes.
And then in the general election, of course, you have to contend with the fact that this district is shaped quite strangely. So you've got a good chunk of – is that reflected in the necklace you're wearing?
Yes. This is the most thoughtful gift. I have a
– So it's a pendant, I guess, that or some type of medallion. I don't know what to say. I don't know anything about jewelry, but it's hanging from a necklace there, and it's in the shape of Ohio's first. Mm-hmm. And it is a strange shape. Yes. And so it includes Hamilton County, but then sneaks up into Warren County. So what will you do in the fall if you have the opportunity to represent the Democratic Party when you have to compete in that part of the district that is so heavily Republican?
Yes. So it is absolutely a numbers game. You have the way to win this district. 80% of the Democrats are in Hamilton County, so you have to really drive turnout, particularly among young people and African Americans in Hamilton County. This district has the highest percent of African Americans in the country represented by a Republican. That is wild. So drive up turnout here. In Warren County, you have to achieve 35% of the vote. About 28% of Warren County is registered Dems. So you do have to get about 7% crossover up in Warren County. And I've had the opportunity to talk with a lot of the other folks who flip similar districts. So one of the points of hope is that of the 41 seats that flipped in the 2018 cycle from Republican to Democrat, 11 of them were more Republican than this district. Primary profile in those 11 seats was first-time female candidate. And they made a science of really connecting with moderate Republican women and independent women to get those crossover voters. And that's absolutely what I would do here and really work my tail off up in Warren County for that.
So when you're on the trail and you're shaking hands and meeting folks and they say something along the lines of what are your top three priorities? Can you give me like a quick elevator speech on your top three priorities should you be the new congressperson from Ohio, for Ohio 1?
Yes, absolutely. So number one, healthcare. I think we need to continue to move the ball down the field, work towards universal coverage. So what matters is improving access, reducing costs, and improving quality. And I'm open to any proposals that move the ball down the field on those. The number one thing I think we can take action on in the near term and should is reducing the cost of prescription drug costs. We are the only country that I'm aware of in the world that does not negotiate when we buy prescription drugs. It is crazy. I've been part of working on getting the cost of drugs down in other countries. You sit down at the table with these pharmaceutical companies, and you have a back and forth. Right now, we have a market that is low volume and high margin, and we need to sit with them and say, hey, we understand you need to make some profit for research and development, but make it high volume, low margin, and spread it across. And we have got to do that. We are leaving that leverage on the table. Any business person, the Republican Party should agree with that as well. So one, I would reduce the cost of prescription drugs. Doing that on just the top 250 drugs would save, it's estimated to save $342 billion. Second, gun safety. I think this is an area where, you know, I'm a mom. Peter and Josie are 4 and 6. When Peter was 3, he started active shooter drills in their schools. This is crazy what we are going through in our country and in our communities around this. I think it, expanded background checks are no-brainer. 93% of Americans support this, even though Shabbat voted against it twice last year. And we can – I really think this is an issue. You can be pro-gun ownership and pro-gun safety at the same time, and there's a lot we can do on those measures. And third, the environment. I think that, you know, we have to take action to reduce our dependency on fossil fuels. And then the last thing I'd say, outside of just policies, as a member of Congress, your job is to be a champion for your community. And so to bring resources and investment to this community, whether it's for infrastructure and our bridge, jobs and the economy, we give way more in Cincinnati and federal tax dollars than we get back in investment in return. And that is because we do not have a strong champion here.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. My guest right now is Democrat Kate Schroeder. She's running in the 1st Congressional District in Ohio, a seat currently occupied by Republican Steve Shabbat. She faces fellow Democrat Nikki Foster in the March 17 primary. I want to talk about healthcare because you've got some experience in healthcare. I heard you just say that we should move towards universal healthcare. That means different things to different people, and it's a hot topic as the presidential field in the Democratic primary starts to winnow down about what that looks like. Is it just a public option along with the current private system, or is it Medicare for all? What is it?
Yeah, I think the first thing we've got to do is secure the floor, right? When we passed the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, we saw the levels of uninsured go down, down, down. And since the current administration has been eroding that, the last 2 years, the number of uninsured has gone up. And that's because we've taken away the mandate. We've taken away funding for navigators that help people to access the system and enroll. And taking away marketing. So we have to secure the floor. We cannot compromise anymore on the progress we've made. I think the right next step is a public option where any company can offer a public option instead of private insurance, or anybody going on the exchange can choose a public option. You can have the public and private compete and see over time sort of what is working best. And I do think, you know, I've had a lot of experience working on health systems overseas, and there, you know, it can work well with moving towards a Medicare option for all. But I think given where we are as a country, the right next step is starting with a public option.
I heard you make a reference to a bridge. I imagine that's a reference to the Brent Spence Bridge. And that's been a project on people's minds for quite a long time. What it ultimately may look like is up for debate, of course, but there seems to be consensus that traffic is an issue, congestion is an issue there. And yet there's not been any federal allocation for a second bridge or some sort of very significant alteration of the highway flow there. What would you propose?
I mean, the first thing we have to agree is that it has to be fixed, and that we've got to do it together. You know, that's a federal highway. I also, you know, I know there are engineers that have inspected that bridge that won't drive across it. I'm reluctant to go across it with my kids. I, you know, crack our windows and look at how many semis are on there with me. It's crazy that we, you know, Shabbat's been in there since 94 saying that he was going to fix this bridge. When he was asked at a recent town hall about it, he said that it was Kentucky's bridge. I don't care whose bridge it is. I care that we are part of the solution. You know, it impacts all of us and it's going to take all of us. And so we don't have federal earmarks in the same way that we used to. But we need a member of Congress that is there knocking on doors and working with people to put deals together to bring resources to fix this bridge. You know, we can band together. There are many other communities across this country that have failing infrastructure projects. And maybe we look at ideas where we ring fence a portion of the federal tax dollars coming from this region to go to our Brent Spence Bridge. I think we need all options should be on the table, and we need a leader who sees it as their job and wakes up every day ready to, you know, knock on doors and work relentlessly until we get the resources we need.
Earlier in this conversation, you mentioned that the media may paint people or political parties and members of political parties as being on extremes, but you find that most people tend to drift toward the middle. But if you look at Congress, while the ideology may play out the way you described, certainly the gridlock is evident. How would you as a member of Congress address that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's getting a lot of the new people that were elected in the last cycle are not politicians. Or a lot of them are like me, you know, women, and who didn't consider this as something they planned to do, but are there because of this, because they feel like they need more bridge builders to be in Congress. I would build relationships. You know, I would join the Problem Solvers Caucus, where you can only join with a member of the other party. The way you get things done is by bringing people together. And you're not, you know, you can have all the good ideas in the world, but if you don't have relationships within your own party, with members of the other party, with the business community, with community activists, you're not going to get things done. And so I would go by, you know, not only being smart and prepared and ready with my policy issues, not just in your top one, two, three areas, but in a bunch, because you don't know when the door opens and you've got to be ready. You've got to have the relationships and the preparation and the policy ready so that when a door opens, you can push an idea through.
Kate Schroeder is a Democratic candidate in Ohio, won in the congressional race. In the primary, she faces fellow Democrat Nikki Foster. The winner will face Republican incumbent Steve Chabot in the fall. Kate Schroeder, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Coming up on Tuesday, we preview the Hamilton County Commission Democratic primary. And on Wednesday, we talk with Democratic candidates for Hamilton County prosecutor and sheriff. And you can find all of our election coverage as it comes out this week at WVXU.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.